following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Welcome to the, well, it's not the morning after anymore. It's the afternoon after. Oh, my goodness. Last night was not fun. And today has been, well, kind of stressful. I was going to take my blood pressure. And then I thought, nah, maybe I'll just leave that alone right about now. Oh, my God. It's, you know, the Peter Principle year rolls on. Except we're looking to be in decent shape. You know what? We're going to start off with a phone call. Look at that. Right out of the gate. My buddy Brad Friedman is on the line. Hello, Brad Friedman.
How did you know it was me, Nicole? I was just calling to say happy birthday, old lady.
Thank you. Yeah, I would say old man, but I'm older. Because your name came up on my caller ID, because, you know.
Oh, I see.
Magic.
I see.
Magic.
I see. Well, it was. I just figured it was such a special day today, being your birthday and all,
it
and
is.
Probably a slow news day on your end.
Yeah,
that you wouldn't mind if I called in just to say hello and chit chat and wish you a happy birthday.
I appreciate it. Hey, so Brad Friedman, while I've got you on the line, were there any problems with the voting yesterday, or did it all go off flawlessly?
Was there voting yesterday?
It was Election Day yesterday. Believe it or not.
Oh, crap. Yeah, I knew there was something yesterday that I had meant to write down in my calendar. Surprisingly, Nicole, the voting actually went quite smoothly overall. There were some pretty horrible disasters in a couple of counties in Georgia. And in Ohio, I believe, where the electronic poll books went out entirely so that nobody could vote at all. Right. So things went down for a couple of hours in some of those counties. But overall, it was surprisingly smooth, and I think that was because so many of the, you know, more than two-thirds of the voters had actually already cast their votes before Election Day. So we didn't see the hours-long lines, et cetera, with the voting. Voting went, in general, you know, compared to our previous presidential elections, actually went quite well. Now, the counting...
That's another story.
That's another issue. That at this point, you know, we don't know. And I always caution people that, you know, on the night of and the day after the election, we get these unofficial totals coming from the counties and the states and the media. And it's completely unverified. These are the computer totals. We have no idea if they are accurate or not.
Right.
Really. Because these human beings don't count them.
Right. And so we won't have those verified numbers actually until the middle of December, right? They're all due in like December 14th or something.
Well, those will be the certified numbers.
Whether they're
verified or not is another issue because we don't actually verify these damn ballots in pretty much any state in the union. So even when, you know, Donald Trump, you may have heard, is actually calling for a recount in Wisconsin. Well, A, they haven't finished their counting at all, so he can't yet call for a recount. But when they do
he called for a recount. Although they haven't finished counting, he already called for a recount in Wisconsin.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
And so when and if they do such a recount, basically they're going to take the mostly hand-marked paper ballots that they have in Wisconsin and run them back through the same computer tabulators that counted them the first time, either correctly or incorrectly. We don't know because it's up to the jurisdictions in Wisconsin whether they want to hand count or whether they want to use computers. And the largest jurisdictions, as we saw in 2016 when the Green Party candidate Jill Stein asked for a recount, the largest jurisdictions just run the ballots right through the computers all over again. Donald Trump actually picked up in 2016, he actually picked up votes. He picked up 131 votes in that so-called recount. I don't know if that is going to get him the 20,000 or so votes that he would need right now to overcome Joe Biden's lead up
yeah.
in the Badger
No,
State.
I don't think so. And even, I guess, Scott Walker was on one of the cable channels. David, my husband, saw it, and he said, Scott Walker said, you know, sorry, 20,000 votes, he's not going to make that up. So there you go.
Now, that said, it's Wisconsin, and we've seen, elections where suddenly thousands of ballots show up that we didn't know existed days later. Mm-hmm. So, you know, anything can happen. That's why we have elections. That's why we do, canvassing and in theory, some form of post-election audits. Who knows what we're going to learn in the next few days? I certainly don't, but I am at least at this hour somewhat confident that Joe Biden will be the next president of the United States for whatever you decide that is worth.
Right. And that's the good news, because the bad news is the bad news is we did not retake the Senate. Chances are slim to none that the Democrats will retake the Senate. They bit the big one there. Mitch McConnell is fucking back, and he'll be majority leader again. My God, what a disaster. And the House, where we should have just picked up more seats, or the Democrats should have picked up more seats, they lost six, could lose as many as 10. They'll still retain mm-hmm. control, but really?
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that happened?
Because I think Joe Biden was the wrong candidate. I said this at the beginning when he was nominated, and I'll say it now that the election is over. He excited nobody. It was pulling teeth to get a lot of people on the left to vote for him who had real problems with him, but they said, I'll vote for him. But there was no coattails. There was no excitement. He didn't bring anyone along for the ride. And this country sucks. People in this country are fucked up. That's what I think happened. I wanted to say we're not like that as a country. What I learned yesterday and today is we are. I guess I'm in the minority because I'm a decent person.
Well, you know, there's going to be a lot of lessons to learn. We have to figure out what the hell happened. It's hard to say, oh, he wasn't a good candidate. And by the way, I don't disagree with you, but it's hard to say he wasn't a good candidate when he got more votes than any presidential
ever.
Candidate
right.
in history. It
right.
looks like he's going to beat Trump by about 10 million votes or so and win the presidency. To blame the lack of winning the Senate or losing seats in the House, I don't know if it feels right just yet to blame that on Joe Biden.
Well,
I've got plenty of other shit that I do plan on blaming on him. But for now,
I hear you.
I don't know if that's the answer or not. I think you are maybe closer that, there's just some terrible people in this country.
Yeah. They're more concerned about their own selfishness, and they don't see what Mitch McConnell did. The fact that he stole another Supreme Court seat and they reward him by sending him back and giving him, additional Senate seats. I'm apoplectic over this.
Yeah, I know. 51% of Americans support Amy Coney Barrett. How does that happen? And I guess the second part of that question is, how do you blame that on Joe Biden? I don't know if you can. Maybe you can, but I don't know.
Actually,
I think there's something
fundamentally wrong
with our country.
I blame that on Nancy Pelosi and little Chucky Schmucky Schumer. Nancy Pelosi could have refused to come to the table on their continuing resolution. You know what? A government shutdown of a few weeks at the end of the year would have been less harmful than Mitch McConnell controlling the Senate for the next two.
Well, yes, unless it led to even more losses for Democrats. Remember, you got a media who's going to go out there and say, Nancy Pelosi is shutting down the government.
I know.
And
I know.
I don't know how you overcome that. The same media who is out there saying, you know, why does Joe Biden want to destroy the economy by getting rid of the oil industry?
Why is he a socialist? In South Florida, these idiotic Cubans, now Americans, bought the whole socialist bullshit. I told you, I said this back last year during the primary when everyone's going, oh, if Bernie wins, they're going to play the socialist card. I said, watch it. Joe Biden will win. They'll call him a socialist too. And they did, and it worked.
It did, and by the way, this was, we could have seen this coming for miles. I was actually on, the first time I heard it in the media, the first time I heard, you know, the Republican Fox News machine sort of turning on this, let's call them all socialists, which is one step away from communists, which is one step away from
terrorists. Oh, and they're going there, too. They're communists, they're Marxists, they're socialists, they're fascists, which is hysterical because, I'm sorry, fascist is probably the polar opposite of socialist.
First time I heard that was during the 2008 presidential election cycle, and I was on Fox News at the time, and they actually asked me. It was during the housing crisis, the great beginning of the Great Recession, and so forth. They actually asked me at that time, Barack Obama wants to, I can't remember, you know, help people pay off their mortgages. Are we looking at the rise of socialism, Brad? That was the first time I had ever heard that from Fox News. You know, before that, you know, they would go after terrorists and Al-Qaeda and whatever. But, boy, they turned on a dime to this socialism idea, and they're still milking that that fat cow all of these years later.
Yeah,
big time.
It's ridiculous. And I'm sorry, Miami... those people, and you know, I've heard them. I hear them speak, and it's just the stupid. You know, when Donald Trump said, "I love the poorly educated," now we know why.
No kidding. Well, you've got work to do to fix your fucking state. That's all I can say.
God.
My fucking state is doing just, okay, other than being on fire. But, you know, we all got a lot of work to do here. And speaking of work, I wanted to say happy birthday.
Thank you.
Now I have to go prepare my show.
Yes.
Because I don't get to say fuck on it.
I'm going to actually
have to come up with some content.
Oh, too bad. Because I have a great a little video to play on the show today, which encompasses my love of the word fuck, which I said a lot between yesterday and today.
I know, and you do understand that Desi and I are terrified every time you guest host the broadcast that you're going to let one of those fucks fly, and I'm going to be thrown off.
And here's the thing. I'm a pro, so I've never said fuck on the radio. I said shit once, but that's a long story. But the last time I filled in for you, I played a Randy Rainbow video, and I forgot to edit. There was a fuck in it, and I forgot to edit it out. And Desi called me because something else wasn't right. And the minute I answered the phone, I went, oh, fuck! I forgot to edit the fuck! And so I was racing against the clock because I had already uploaded the shows. Because your show is a pain in the ass to do. Let me just tell you that.
Yeah.
So
you don't have to tell me that. I know.
I do it
goddamn five fucking times a week. So believe me, I know. It's a pain in the ass.
For those who don't know,
I gotta go.
Yes, Brad Friedman hosts the Bradcast, which he's got to be in production right now. So thank you for calling, Brad. I appreciate it.
I love you, and be happy. Maybe our long national nightmare, at least the worst part of it, is
worst
over.
It.
So hang in there. Keep up the good fight, girlfriend.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Brad Friedman. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Everyone listen to the... he doesn't do a live show. See, that's why his show is such a pain in the ass. Because I can do my show live. And, you know, if I screw something up, I screw it up. But when you pre-tape it, when you screw it up, you're obligated to go back and fix it. And you know how often I screw up. And so doing his show, you know, it's got to time out perfectly. And you know, you got to be a professional on his show. On my show, we can just wing it. Speaking of winging it, I had the ultimate guest for the day after Election Day booked for the show today. If you've listened to this program for any amount of time, you know that Thomas Frank is one of my favorite guests. He's an author and a journalist. His latest book is The People Know. I think I have a copy of it around here somewhere. Anyway, in my mess. I wrote to him like last week. or even the week before. And I said, November 4th, day after election, any chance you could join me? And he wrote back and he said, I'm actually traveling that day. I'm flying back from New York to wherever he lives. I forget where he lives. I think in Kansas. Anyway, I said, well, my show is now later. I'm on from 5 to 6. He said, you know what? I should be able to make it. Let's do it. Well, then this afternoon, I get an email from him. I'm so sorry. My flight was delayed. I can't make it today. So Thomas Frank will not be joining us today because he'll be in the air somewhere, hopefully with a mask on and staying safe because we need him. So we're open. We may have a couple of surprise calls throughout the show. I don't know. But the phone lines are open. Should you care to call in at 954-889-6410. If you're on Skype, you can Skype in to Nicole Sandler, all one word. Because I figured we could really use a bit of group therapy today. Because I don't know about you, but last night I was devastated. Because not only did it look like the polls were wrong. That much we do know. The polls were wrong for the second time in a presidential election. You know, everyone's going, oh, well, they're under compensating. So we don't do the same thing again. They did the same exact thing again. The polls are wrong. I think pollsters should be outlawed because they don't work. But I'm trying to figure out how to, you know, address what happened here. And, the thing that was so upsetting to me is the knowledge that so many of our fellow Americans must be really horrible human beings. Because anybody who could vote for that piece of shit, seriously, who could bring themselves to vote for Donald fucking Trump, the most vile human being on the public stage today? And I say that without exaggeration. He really is. I mean, there are some really ugly people out there. I cannot think of anyone as truly heinous as Donald Trump. And thankfully, it appears that he will not be winning as much as he's protesting. Oh, I just hung up on someone from the 404 area code. You can call back, but we'll say hello to, I think this is listener Tamara, isn't it?
Yeah, this is Tamara. Have you guys heard what Trump just posted on his Facebook page?
Oh, no. What now? Well, he was posting on Facebook because he keeps getting tagged on Twitter with notices that his stuff is... I got to read to you one of the official things on his... it's not showing up on TweetDeck. Every time he posts something on Twitter, it comes up with this is an inaccurate quote. This is bad information. Don't pay attention to it, basically. So,
well, Trump just said on Facebook, he said, we have claimed for electoral purposes the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, which won't allow legal observers, the state of Georgia and the state of North Carolina, each one of which has a big Trump lead. Additionally, we hereby claim the state of Michigan if, in fact, there is a large number of secretly dumped ballots, as has been widely reported.
Oh,
what? He thinks he's Christopher Columbus?
He is the gaslighter. He is the gaslighter in chief. Hold on one second. I don't know why it's letting another call ring through. It's not supposed to. Tamara, thanks for the call. I got a video to play for you from there, but let me run to this next call. Hi, who's this?
Fid.
Fid. Hi, Fid.
Yes. Hi.
You're on the air. What's on your mind? What do you think about what's going on?
Oh, I am.
You are. I don't have a screener. I don't have a producer. I
just had
take the call.
Yeah, I just had to agree with Nicole.
That's me.
Saying that the people are just crazy to vote for this man. He's killed, you know, almost 250,000 people.
That's right.
With a coronavirus. They don't have any. They would never even help us if he got back in. Hopefully he doesn't. But this is crazy. I've gone nuts since last night. I had to turn off the TV because I just couldn't watch it anymore because the polls were so wrong.
Yeah.
With Jamie and Lindsey Graham.
Oh, my God. Lindsey, how does Lindsey Graham win?
The whole time.
Yes, they were.
Polls.
Yep.
And then now all of a sudden he was 54 and Jamie's like way down there at 50 or 46. It was insane. I didn't sleep at all last night. It was just insane.
No, I got about 2 hours, I think, if that.
Did you?
Yes, because I just couldn't keep my eyes open anymore. But I was so exhausted, but my stomach was in knots. Yes. David went to bed, and I'm sitting there going, I can't believe this is happening. Thankfully, today it got a little better, but the fact that Lindsey Graham won re-election, that Mitch McConnell won re-election, and that they keep control of the Senate is just
sickening. And then Susan Collins and Murkowski, and then I just saw on my updates on my phone that Nunes or whatever in Devin, California, he got reelected.
Did he? He was losing.
That's insane.
Shit.
I mean, but that's a deep. I think that part of California
is
Nevada, but not Las Vegas. But I live in the Reno area.
Uh-huh.
But that part of Southern California is pretty, pretty Republican. So that's probably why he won. But Mitch McConnell dumped all this money into all those Senate races like 2 days before the election.
Okay, you know what?
It just crushed everybody.
Yeah. No, I hear you. For some reason, let me run. Sorry. Thank you for calling, and thanks for being here today.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.
Right. I have your feelings, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. For some reason, obviously you can hear I'm using Skype, and Skype, when someone's on the line, it's not supposed to ring through audibly, and there's no way to mute it. But hi, this is someone from the 404 area code. Are you in Atlanta?
Yes, I'm Joe from Atlanta.
Hey, Joe from Atlanta. We still don't know what's happening there, but it's looking pretty good for Biden in Georgia.
Basically, I'm right on the Fulton DeKalb border where all the votes are coming in. So it's interesting listening to all the stuff coming in, and I guess there was that one post that went viral about the curing the absentee ballots, make sure that everyone has made sure their signatures match, make sure the ballot's been accepted.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything about that?
Well, no, but here's the thing. You should, if you voted by mail or absentee, call or go online to your county's supervisor of elections office. There is a way to check to make sure your ballot was received and was counted. Because they're not going to inform you if it wasn't. So that's
I got my absentee ballot in back in early October, and I checked mine's accepted.
Good.
But apparently there's something about 40,000 or 20,000 ballots in DeKalb County that are not accepted.
Really?
That could still be cured until Friday.
Wow. Yeah, so that's why I'm telling everybody, you already did it, Joe, but everybody who's listening, if you are in one of these states, now I know CNN and NBC both called Michigan for Biden. They called Wisconsin for Biden.
Michigan, Wisconsin. Nevada looks good. Arizona looks good.
Yeah, but those haven't been called yet. So right now, with Wisconsin and Michigan called, Trump is already contesting them. They're already saying, "Wait, let me pull this up because this is absurd." They are, suing Pennsylvania for counting past election day, something that happens in every election. They filed suit today in Michigan Court of Claims to halt counting, quote, until meaningful access has been granted, whatever that means. And then, they're declaring victory in Pennsylvania. I mean, the stuff they're doing is pretty ridiculous. And this is great. You'll love this one. Vanity Fair magazine tweeted out, according to a source, Donald Trump phoned Rupert Murdoch to scream about Fox calling Arizona for Joe Biden and demanded a retraction. Murdoch refused, and the call stood.
I saw that. I'm just imagining him, like, answering the phone, just putting it down the table while you're for a while.
Go away. Just go away. So it's looking okay for Georgia, and the more votes that come in, it seems, you know, the more that are counted, it's looking better and better, because what they're counting now are those mail-in votes, are the ones they counted the in-person votes from yesterday first, and then they add in the mail-in and other stuff. So I hope you're feeling good.
Then there's a whole thing in Fulton County where they were counting the ballots. There's a water pipe that burst arena.
Yep.
That delayed the counting. And then, I was up way too late last night watching all that.
I'll bet. As was I, which is why I'm a little toasty today. But it wasn't by choice. I was ready to go to sleep at like 10 o'clock. I was falling asleep, and then something happened. It's like, oh, shit. And then my stomach was in knots, and my mind wouldn't stop. So I did some painting and watched TV, and I think I finally fell asleep probably around 3, and then I woke up at 5. So, you know,
I slept a little bit later, but yeah, I was about the same.
Yeah, well, I hope we're all resting.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It was my birthday last week, I took this whole last week and this week off. So.
Oh, nice. Well, happy birthday. I hope you enjoyed your time.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
It was okay. We'll find out by the end of the day, I hope.
Yeah, well, or tomorrow. You know, and the thing is, thanks for calling, Joe. I'm gonna run. They warned us that we wouldn't know for days. In fact, they've been telling us, and it was so not funny, haha, but funny, strange that everyone last night was freaking out because we weren't supposed to have the totals last night. We weren't supposed to know who was going to win until probably the end of this week, because Pennsylvania, for instance, does not begin counting those mail-in ballots until after the day of voting votes are counted. And so that's what's happening now. But by the way, did you see what's going on in Detroit? There is another, I hate to call it a Brooks Brother riot, but the Republicans are trying to repeat the shit that they did last time. So this is in Detroit, where they are ostensibly counting ballots. And check this out. Let me play this little video. You'll see a bunch of people, for those listening to audio, it looks just like it looked back 20 years ago with the Brooks Brothers riot, where people in their, you know, business clothes, they're all wearing masks, so they've got that going for them. And they're up against the glass door where inside they're counting the votes, and they start shouting. Here we go. Oops. I guess not. Never mind. I think I can play it this way. Let's do it this way.
There's a woman on the ground. Just wait a minute.
Don't push. Detroit Central counting something.
Let's hear what you got to say.
Step back.
Listen up. Step back.
You really can't, you know, make out much of what's going on, except that there's a lot of people crowded into a small space trying to get into the room where they're counting the votes. It's astounding. Donald Trump is trying to create chaos. He lost. He is losing. Right now, the official count of electoral college votes is Joe Biden 253, Donald Trump 214. I'm looking at decisiondeskhq.com. By the way, it's a great site. It's free. You can pull up any state, any race. They have everything right there. You have to register, but it doesn't cost anything, and you have everything right at your fingertips, your own big board that you can go to. So right now, they still have not called Arizona or Nevada or Pennsylvania or North Carolina or Georgia. Is that all that's out? Looks like that's all that's still outstanding. And it's looking really good for Biden, for Arizona and Nevada, and that's all he needs. Arizona has 11 electoral votes. Is that right? Arizona 11, and Nevada has 6. And that will bring him to, that's the 17 Biden needs to get from 253 to 270. Anything else is just cake. And so Trump is freaking out and trying to, do everything he can to make it not happen. Anyway, somebody's on the line from the 832 area code, I think. Who's this?
This is Pam from San Bernardino. Just wanted to say happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Pam, and I got your card today. So thank you so much, and your very kind donation. Oh, I really appreciate it.
You're most welcome. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
And I can't believe that I called it wrong, that we didn't retake the Senate.
I know. I thought that was a no-brainer. I thought it was bound to happen. Of course it would have to happen. This Senate has been reprehensible. The fact that they stole Ruth Bader Ginsburg, they stole Scalia's seat, the one that should have gone to Merrick Garland, held it open for a year, and then they did this with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, it's disgusting. And the fact is that the only reason Donald Trump had over 200 judicial openings to fill is because Mitch McConnell wouldn't bring any of his nominees to the floor for a vote.
But, you know, I have this, I want to put this out there. And when Joe Biden is finally sworn in as the next president, the next legitimate president, we have to get on Amy Coney Barrett and what's his face? The one who is the
Kavanaugh.
Racist.
Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh.
They both lied on their oath.
Yep, they did.
That is an offense. And we the people, have to do something about it. We can sign petitions and what have you.
Yep.
So that they can be removed. They can be removed. But we have to act. It's no point just saying things. We have to do.
I agree, but you know what the problem is?
I thought Al Jazeera last night.
Yeah.
And they are shocked at the way that Americans behave. They can't believe.
I can't believe.
I mean, we have somebody in occupying the Red House, as I call it, who has no respect for our Constitution or the law.
Mm-hmm.
And then people vote for that Senate that has emboldened him to do all the horrible things he has done, not only to us, but to our allies.
Yep.
You know, I'm talking about when they spoke to people in different countries.
Yep.
And everybody was rooting for Biden.
Yeah, so, well,
of
course.
I'm not going to keep you, because in case anybody else wants to call in, but enjoy your birthday.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's good to hear from you, and thank you. All right, you take care. The phone lines are open. I think we have one of our special guests on the line who even has his own little intro. So, take it away.
Go walk through the Golden Groove Yard, kicking off a silver dollar twin spin with the Drift Glass.
When this whole world starts getting me
The Drifters.
Oh.
This is Drift Glass.
Oh, sorry. Here's Drift Glass with Nicole Sandler.
Drift Glass, who hasn't been here in a while, he is one of the original OG progressive bloggers in the blogosphere. He is the co-host of the Professional Left podcast. It was right there. It's sorry. Just like you, I didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night, Drift Glass.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, I know what you mean. Well, I'm going to have my election predictions published sometime next week, so you just hang on for that.
Good to know. Hey, that's the way to do it, isn't it?
Like to bet on races that are already run. That's how you make the big money.
No shit.
Or if you want to make really big money, invent a time machine, go back in time, become an asshole Republican consultant for 30 years.
Oh my God.
And then switch your affiliations at the last minute. And you can have a book contract and an MSNBC contract and op-ed columns
Absolutely.
Everywhere you want to go.
And a media company, because the Lincoln Project is, now that the campaign is over, they're launching, with all the money that good liberals gave them, launching a media company.
Yes, they are. And Michael Steele just today announced that they have plans for reconstituting the Republican Party as a governing majority.
Of course they do.
Of course they do.
Right.
So
because they were never, and this is the thing, all along, you know, I played some of their spots because they were good. They were creative. They were good. But make no mistake, those people were not on our side. They were on the side of sanity, so they didn't want Donald Trump in office anymore. But they certainly didn't want the Democrats in office. They just wanted to take back control of their own party. So they used us. And Democrats, being Democrats, just rolled over and said, have your way, Republicans. Well, do what you want.
A lot of Democrats did. I wrote a lot of posts about don't be fooled, don't be suckered. Mm-hmm. I got slapped by my liberal allies for don't you understand? This is World War II, and this is Stalin. We have to get sad with Stalin to defeat Hitler. I said, no, this is World War II. They are Nazi propagandists, and they're getting the hell out of Berlin before it burns to the ground. That's all that's happening here. And since their voting record as of this election when it came to all the people they backed is zero.
Right.
What they did, this was my take on it. What they did was produce Pornhub political videos for liberals. Like, oh my God, did you hear what they said about Donald Trump? That's so exciting. Like, yeah. And I got sick of hearing how, you know, Democrats just don't know how to do this stuff.
Right.
I know liberals who have been doing this stuff because basically you're ripping off the liberal critique of the Republican Party going back 30 years, filing off the serial numbers and saying, guess what I just found out about the party. And I know liberals who can do this all day long. We don't have the backing of Rob Reiner, and we don't have the backing of the liberal people who write million-dollar checks
to
us.
No, we do not.
We don't, and we never will.
Nope.
Because we weren't on TV. We don't have a Nicole Wallace who's on television who will smuggle us there. We don't have Michael Steele on television, etc.
No, it's kind of frustrating that you know, and we don't have a party apparatus behind us who will buy our books and propel them to the top of the bestseller list and then give them out as premiums to people who donate to the party.
Yeah. No, people ask me, since I'm now up to 10,000 posts
over
the last 16 years, why I don't do a book. And I'm like, because there's easier ways to go broke.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, there's no way. And I looked through the Never Trump books, and they're basically posts that were pasted together out of stuff they wrote in the last 2 years, 3 years.
Wow.
And I look at them and I go, okay, first of all, these people are not behaving like people who want my trust, because every time I bring up the fact the Republican Party existed before 2016, they get hysterical, they get angry, and they block me.
Mm-hmm.
So that is not the act of an innocent person who's willing to atone for their past. That's the act of a guilty person who doesn't want you looking into the damn basement because that's where the bodies are buried. So, and now that they've blown everything past, now that Republicans actually turned out in greater numbers this election, they're going to start their own marketing company.
Yeah.
And I just scratch my head and go, you know, okay.
Yep. It's opposite world. It's all opposite world. The fact that so many, look, I thought when the numbers were showing such huge turnout that, you know, people were, coming out in droves to get this guy the fuck out of there to say, return us to normalcy. And when I see how close it is now, again, in the popular vote, he's around 3 million votes behind Joe Biden. Right. So it's still kind of the same margins as 2016. But the fact is he hasn't lost an ounce of listeners, of followers, of fans, of cult members since he took office. They stay with him despite how disgusting a person he is.
Well, and that's the thing. And I did a long thing today about entitled The Failsafe Election, which is I ripped off the movie Failsafe.
Uh-huh.
And there's this exchange between Henry Fonda and the bomber pilot who's heading towards Moscow to bomb Moscow. And the bomber pilot, the president's begging him to stop because he's going to start World War III.
Right.
And the bomber pilot is telling him, you're ordering me to do something you've specifically told me not to do. Republicans have trained their base to ignore the liberal media and ignore reality and ignore facts. And the more, specifically the Lincoln Project, who would go on television and talk about the toothless rubes who basically put a roof over their head for the last 30 years.
Yep.
They mock them. They call them stupid, which I agree they are.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling these people to do the very thing that you've trained them not to do, which is pay attention to reality. You're asking them to believe liberal media. You're asking them to watch MSNBC and listen to your ads.
Yeah.
And they're worse than us because they left the Republican Party, which makes them traitors. And I'm shaking my head going, of course they didn't listen to you. Why would they listen to you? A friend of mine, well, not a friend, a colleague of mine who's a conservative years ago, before Trump, he's a perfect MAGA guy.
Oh.
He used to send me, you know, every crackpot conspiracy theory going back to Hillary assassinated Vince Foster.
Okay.
And I would take 90 seconds to debunk them, and he'd say, well, you're in the pocket of big Soros.
And, this is your friend? I give you more credit.
Colleague. This is a professional colleague I had back when I worked for the city of Chicago. Oh, I worked for a lot of manufacturing companies.
Gotcha.
Old, white, racist, retired a-hole.
Yeah.
But one of the things stuck out in my memory was when he sent me a little quote by Peggy Noonan saying mean things about Sarah Palin.
Okay.
And he talked about what a stupid, angry, typical lying liberal this writer must be.
Peggy Noonan?
And I'm like, Peggy Noonan is Ronald Reagan's speechwriter.
Speechwriter, exactly.
How do I know more about your party than you do? But the mechanism in his brain was anyone who says a bad thing about the leader is a traitor and must therefore be a liberal. So obviously all the Lincoln ads in the world were never going to touch these people because you want them to think bad thoughts about the dear leader. And that's never going to happen.
Right.
These are the same people you know and I know who they've been for the last 30 years. They're
exactly.
They're never going to change and they're never going to go away.
And, you know, the one good thing they have going for them is they realize that Trump is a con man. He's a con man. That's him. And so they don't want him. Good. But, you know, that whole the enemy of my enemy is my friend is not true.
It's never been true.
Right. Exactly.
And, so today, on this very day, when I'm on your show, I listen to enemy transmissions because I figure that's my job.
Yeah.
So I fired up the Bulwark podcast.
Oh, God.
And I listened to Bill Kristol and Charlie Sykes talk about how.
Oh, my goodness.
How, you know what?
Never Trumpers. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, these are people I should shut up and take a back seat to.
Oh, right. Of course. And let them control the Democratic Party, don't you know, because they did such a great job with their own.
Yeah. You broke yours. Now you want mine.
Exactly.
But they were saying how it's probably a good thing that Mitch McConnell will still run the Senate. It's good for Joe Biden to have Mitch McConnell because then you won't have any crazy socialists in there trying to push their crazy, because we might get tax reform out of it. And that'd be wonderful.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, you guys. So when you hear these sons of bitches talk about the good old days, what they mean is 2010, 2011.
Right.
Back when they were kneecapping Barack Obama.
That's right.
Blocking everything and stealing Supreme Court seats. That's what these people consider to be the golden age of the Republican Party.
Amazing.
Anyway, are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. It's my birthday.
You're a Scorpio.
I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, my birthday was October 30th.
Ah, happy birthday, Scorpio.
Happy birthday to you, too.
But, you know, I was hoping that today I'd be celebrating. And, you know, what happened with the Senate is just such a travesty. Look, I'm glad it looks like Trump's going to lose.
Right.
But let me share this comment that I read on a listserv that I'm on from a friend of mine. But he worded it so beautifully. He said, about this, the last, 24 hours, it fucking hurts. We've had to ask why. We've had to realize that the country simply isn't rejecting Trump. Not after 4 years of gross corruption, nor 40 million lost jobs, nor 250,000 dead Americans, and the worst COVID response in the developed world. It's terrifying. And obviously, not getting the Senate means Biden's agenda is DOA. Large-scale climate legislation, DOA. A real COVID response, DOA. Court changes, DOA. It's horrifying. I really do think the flow of events and information is what's crushing us right now. And the fact that we have a man and a whole party who supports him who lies about every single thing, this nonsense with the new Brooks Brothers riot in Detroit, declaring that they have occupied Pennsylvania. I mean, what kind of bullshit is this?
Well, this is who they've always been.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's so hard for me to keep repeating over and over again. I've been writing, you've been writing, we've been doing this for a long time, since the depths of the Bush administration.
Yes, we have.
And back then, I was saying, you know, a house divided can't stand, half Fox and half Free can't survive. That never underestimate how much conservatives hate this country.
Yeah.
Because they really do hate this country. And they are now just, and this really is, it should be. I'm not sure if it is, because the mainstream media remains a horrible wasteland of both-siderists, idiots. But this should be a completely clarifying election, that more people will have voted in this election than any election in history.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of them, having seen Donald Trump and the Republicans for 4 years, said, I want four more years of that.
Of that.
That should be enough for you to stop.
545 children who were removed forcibly from their parents. They have no idea where the parents are. That's okay with these people? It's just astounding.
Yep.
Astounding. Hey, Driftglass, we've got another call. I don't have anybody screening, so I just take them as they come in. Someone's on the line from the 774 area code. Who's this?
Hi, Nicole. My name is Rick, and I live near Boston in Massachusetts.
Hi, Rick. Okay, what's on your mind?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk to you about Trump's followers. We've heard a lot about Trump's psychology, but I'm a veteran, and I've lived in a number of different cities, and I run into these kind of people all my life. I almost married one of them.
Oh, God.
I think they're what the DSM psychology calls borderline personalities.
Yeah, gotcha.
They're kind of followers. They talk a good game.
They're sociopaths.
The road,
yeah.
Huh?
They're sociopaths. People with borderline personality disorder are sociopaths. Yeah, and Donald Trump is one of those. And I believe his entire family is, frankly. Says the not a psychiatrist.
He talks, he has the authority. But these people, they talk a good game. But when it comes time for action, nothing ever really gets done.
Okay.
So they can talk about all the things that they're going to do, you know, when the election. But if we get Mitch McConnell up on the charges and we get these judges that are unqualified, they're not going to have any room.
Up on what charges? Hold on. If you get Mitch McConnell up on what charges? There's no charges coming against Mitch McConnell. As much as reprehensible as he is, he hasn't done anything, you know, illegal. He won his election, which sucks. People voted for him, which says more about us as a people than him.
Sorry. He has sat there and not done his job. He has let legislation not come to be voted on.
Yeah, well, that is his job.
Is to see that legislation gets a chance to be heard.
Yeah, well, thank you for the call. Actually, what he thinks is it's his job to stop the Democrat legislation from coming to the floor, right, Driftglass?
That's absolutely. This is what they've been running on.
Yes.
As we tell people on my humble podcast, on the Professional Left podcast, coming to you this Friday. This will be episode 591.
Wow.
We've been doing this for going on 11 years now. So
amazing.
That's why we're number one with Crooked Media and number nobody syndicates up.
No, you know what? I get emails from some. I don't know the name of it, but they tell me that my podcast is trending in like Croatia or something. Yeah. That's what I
to quote, I think Tom Waits, I'm big in Japan.
Okay.
I'm very big in Japan.
Cool. Sorry, I digress.
And we are not in the fourth year of the Trump administration. We are in the 40th year of the Reagan Revolution. And that's what you're saying.
Right.
This is the fruit of a poison tree that's been going back since we were young'uns. And there's a whole bunch of us who've been screaming and yelling and jumping up and down, not because it makes us feel good, not because we want to be able to do the little I told you so dance, but because we're terrified. We were terrified of seeing this thing looming at us over the horizon saying, please, you have to stop this because you're going to land on the big fascist bingo square sooner or later. And now we're here.
Yep.
And I don't want to hear from people who don't believe it or didn't believe it or told me to be quiet or said, you really need to be more reasonable.
Yeah.
I still think we have them outnumbered. And I still think demographically they're doomed. These are old white, you know, a-holes.
Yeah, good. Let them die. I hope they all get COVID and die. I know it's a horrible thing to say, but, you know, we've got a plague. Let's put it to use.
Well, I can't go that far because that's not how diseases work.
I know. I'm trying here.
I got a bunch of people needling me for jumping on who insisted that I go back to my Edgar Allan Poe roots, and I wrote about the Mask of the Red Death. And a lot of people sort of borrowed that. This is where the prince walls off the palace and gathers his friends inside while a plague rages outside. I said, that's the White House.
Yeah.
That's the Republican Party.
Except
that's how they're operating. You know, and of course, eventually the plague gets in.
It gets in. Except it didn't do its job.
No.
Sorry.
No. Well, we don't know. I don't know what's going on. I have no reason to believe anything they tell me.
Not a word. Not a word. And that's the thing. It's, you know, I'm happy to debate a Republican or someone who disagrees with me any day of the week. But when they will not agree to the ground rules, they will not agree the sky is blue, then we can't debate because you lie every time you open your mouth.
Well, I'd like to thank you for using the R word. I am very tired. My wife wrote something about this in August of 2015, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you dare call it Trumpism. It's not Trumpism. It's Republicanism.
It is.
This is Republicanism.
It absolutely
and I am really pissed off at a lot of my allies who are like, you know, this is Trumpism and Trumpism wants us defeated. I'm like, no.
These are Republicans.
And if you go back in time, every time the Republican Party screws the pooch, there's always another ism. It's Bushism. Before that, it was Tom DeLayism. Then there was Palinism.
Oh.
Like, no. You notice that they're all in the same frickin' party?
Yeah.
It's all the same disease. It's not something that's transient. It is the Republican Party itself that is the problem. That's the monster machine that births monsters.
Yeah.
And until that party is bombed to rubble,
torn
out root and branch, they're going to keep doing this because there's no place for them to go. There's no room to compromise anymore.
Right.
Because we're all traitors and monsters and liars and socialists.
So and communists and Marxists and fascists, by the way.
They can't They can't compromise with us or they'll burn in hell forever.
Right. I hear it. Hey, Driftglass, let me ask you this, because this has been on my mind for, you know, since it became apparent throughout the primaries. I was a Bernie Sanders supporter. I still am. Even 4 years ago, when Hillary Clinton ran, sorry, someone's calling me to say happy birthday. I really thought, you know, if Bernie got in, he would have won because there was excitement around him. Today, with all the socialist, scariness, I'm not so sure. If Bernie got in, we might have been destroyed. I don't even know anymore. I question my own sanity right now. I still know we'd be much better off with a Bernie Sanders, with a very progressive, democratic socialist, running the show. But I don't know that they could have gotten past the ugliness of this Republican Party, who calls anybody who's not a right-wing nut job a socialist or worse.
This, and they've been doing that for a long, long time.
Yep.
This is McCarthyism, basically.
It is.
We were a house divided this election. You know, a couple of the kids were Sanders supporters. A couple of us were Warren supporters. So we argued and fought and tussled. But it's a good-natured disagreement. We talk politics all the time at my household. And then we rally around the candidate because we know what it's like to lose and we know what it's like to sort of lower your expectations and get the job done. But it is clear that telling the racists and the ancient Cuban American community in Florida that you promised to reinstate the mortal remains of Batista and that Joe Biden is a communist is the key to winning Florida.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's how it works. And I know it's a lovely state. I know some of my favorite radio people are from there. And I wouldn't have it any other way. But if I had my druthers over on a different timeline where reality is different, Bernie Sanders would make a fine president. And if not, his agenda would make a fine agenda.
Oh, my God. He'd still be the best thing to bring this country together and get us on the right footing. I just think their scare tactics would have derailed everything.
I think so. And along those lines, I have announced a global moratorium on the words needs and must and should until people start using them correctly. Because every time I see someone shouting at clouds that Democrats need to blah, 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 everyone must blah, 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 Republicans have to. I'm like, no, they don't. Haven't you been paying any attention at all?
Yeah.
They don't need to do anything.
No.
They have lied and cheated and gotten hundreds of thousands of Americans killed and broken the treasury and broken the country. And they have no intention of doing anything. You can yell at them. Your callers are lovely people, but you can talk about your indignation at this and this and this and this. And I agree with all of that. But eventually you got to say, look, this is just who they are.
Right. No, it is who they are. But I got to tell you something. The Democratic Party is not without fault here. This is what pisses me. We were played in a coup by James Clyburn and the Democratic Party leadership right before Super Tuesday, when every other candidate except Joe Biden and Bernie basically dropped out, anointing Joe Biden the nominee. Then the party worked to the detriment of the progressive wing, not getting behind our candidates, working against progressives at every turn. And what we've learned is Democrats, voters, will not vote for Republican light. Why should they? You can get the real deal, just as easily. They want something to vote for. And once again, we didn't give it to them.
Well, and here's the problem with our two-party system.
Yeah.
We have two parties. We have a liberal and a conservative party, and they're both in the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
We have an Eisenhower Republican Party in the Democratic Party, and we have an AOC Bernie Democratic Socialist Liberal Party all under one tent.
Yep.
And in any sane universe, those would be the two parties, and they would fight over all kinds of exciting things that would be love to fight about.
Yep.
But we're all stuck in the same trench together because the actual other party is homicidally deranged and delighted at the thought of caging children and letting Americans die and tearing up treaties, and none of which, the most extreme conservative, other than maybe Joe Manchin, the most extreme conservative in the Democratic Party would never have walked out on the Paris Climate Change Agreement, ever.
I know. Because it's a year later, have officially withdrawn from the Paris Climate Change Agreement. Biden can get us back in, but still, it's infuriating.
It is. My wife and I are trying to come up with a sort of, because one of our mottos, we have many, many mottos. One of them is burn the lifeboats. Nobody gets a free pass for this.
Uh-huh.
Nobody. If you have R after your name, or if you're an R enabler, you don't get to pretend, because we did this already. We did this with the Tea Party. The entire Republican Party disappeared overnight and came back as independents, who'd never heard of George Bush.
Right.
And the entire, I swear to God, the GOP and all of their enablers are going to disappear and come back as the Patriot Party or the Lincoln Party. And it's all the same people. And I hate to say this, the core problem is one we can't vote out of office, because the core problem is NBC, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, CNN. People who put Chuck Todd on the air. I have long conversations with people who shake their fist and say, bring back Tim Russert. First of all, Tim Russert's dead. Second of all, he wasn't great. He was terrible.
Yeah.
And third, forgetting David Gregory.
But he was better than Chuck Todd.
Yeah,
David Gregory, I'm sorry, was the worst of all of them.
He was. I'm like, at some point.
And he's on CNN now, case you were missing him.
Yeah. That which is dead can never die. But the point being that obviously someone in management wants an a-hole like that in that chair. They keep putting them in there.
Yeah.
So this is not Chuck Todd's doing. I mean, he's terrible, but he's bred for this job. The people who run the network want someone like that in that chair.
Well, they bring in Jim Carville, who CNN finally got rid of. He makes the brilliant call the other day. Oh, this is all going to be over by 10 o'clock. You're going to go to sleep. And then last night, somebody said to him, you said it was going to be over by 10 o'clock. Take an Ambien, have a drink, go to sleep. Don't worry. Shut up. My God. Well, and the other thing is, they have every fucking Never Trumper on their air.
Yes, they do.
Everybody who would badmouth Bernie and the progressive wing of the party. But from Nicole Wallace to Steve Schmidt, who, remember, those two were responsible for Sarah Palin.
Well, remember that Steve Schmidt got tossed off of MSNBC for burning his own podcast out and was welcomed back. And Nicole Wallace has reduced the entire Bush administration to one phrase, one compound phrase. My former boss, whatever you think of him. That's it. That's the whole Bush administration. And it all has gone down the memory hole. And that's the problem. The problem is that there is no voice on that network for liberals. There's no place for them.
Not a one.
And that's
why I, Joanne Reed, I'm sorry. I can't watch her because of how she speaks about my wing of the party, about my preferred candidate. I came out and voted for Joe Biden. I supported him. But when you badmouth Bernie Sanders like that, sorry, you lost me. Zerlina Maxwell can go right along with Joy Reid down their rabbit hole and hang out with their never Trumper Republicans because that's their clique now.
Oh, it's there's no place to put this. But the problem is, that's the problem. The problem is who gets to frame the four corners of the debate going forward. And it's going to be Chuck Todd, yeah. And it's going to be Joe Scarborough, and it's going to be Charlie Sykes, yep. And it's going to be Bill Kristol, who's now, you know, a resistance hero, and Mona Charon, and those people. So we're now going to have a debate where the middle is Joe Scarborough.
Yeah.
And the left and the right will be conservatives and
socialists.
Worse conservatives.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're coming up on the end of the hour. Driftglass, I can't thank you enough for jumping in and hanging with us today. It's a nice way to spend my birthday. And
yeah,
you got a bunch of new people who are going to check out your podcast in our chat room. Driftglass.blogspot.com and Professional Left.
The Professional Left. Just look up Professional Left and you'll find us there.
There you go. Thank you, Driftglass. Send my love to Blue Gal Fran, your wife and co-host. And thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening, everyone. Thanks for the birthday wishes. I appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow. Howie Klein will be here because, you know, it's Thursday. Oy, good luck to us all. Bye. Keep the faith.